from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Jeez. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio. Oh.
On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case of What's Your Outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Sal Capaccio grabs a seat with us, Jeremy and Joe, here on WGR. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Another beautiful day on tap. You know?
Looks like it.
Looks like it.
We've been pretty fortunate with the weather during camp itself, during practices.
Did storm the first day, but that was well after everything?
Yeah, and I guess people didn't know, like in Buffalo, nothing hit.
Yeah.
But here, it got, like, in the late afternoon, bam, it just came down for 20 minutes, and then later in the night again. So, but it's been pretty good so far.
Do they want a rain day? Do they want a day of, hey, let's practice what things are like when it's what? That'd be more
I think you get that as you get to the season anyway, right? You'll get a few of those towards when you're back in Buffalo.
And they don't want to chew up the field too much also.
No, they do have the one day where it's closed to the public. That's a week from Monday.
Okay.
And they'll only practice on the far field that gets this field to kind of, you know, re-energize,
heal a little bit.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll recap yesterday, and we'll chat about the news today about Josh Allen, Terry Pegula. Tim Graham has a piece in The Athletic, and I think, Sal, it's a great conversation to have about, like, leadership styles, and you've covered so many players that have come through One Bills Drive and leaders of different styles, quiet leaders, fiery leaders. Tim Graham at The Athletic has a piece where he points out or he reports that Terry Pegula has implored coach Sean McDermott and GM Brandon Bean to coax more of an executive demeanor out of Allen. And the idea being, separate, you're not just one of the guys, you're a franchise quarterback. And I feel like, you know, you could say this at any point, but the timing of this year, this is a different year. So many leaders did leave. And we pointed out, you pointed out many times during the draft process, they drafted guys that were captains too. So the changeover at leadership for this group is context for maybe this idea. And I wonder your reaction to the idea that Allen – that Pegula wants to coax a different style, maybe a little more of a leadership style out of Allen.
Well, I think we've all been talking about, it's very interesting to me that the word leadership has been coming up, especially with Josh, for a while. We've talked about this a lot, right?
Yep.
And I've said that it feels to me like they've kind of created a roster here where they've almost by proxy of the people, Josh has to become more of a leader because you don't have that leadership anymore. You're the franchise quarterback. You're the guy that's got to be the alpha male. I think that's a reason, it's part of the reason why Stephon Diggs is not here. Not in a negative way, but he was such an alpha male leader on the offense. I think they knew they had to have Josh Allen become more of that, which said, well, if he's going to be that guy, you know, you have to have him do it and not other people who are going to be doing the same thing, essentially, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But so take more of an ownership. What I think is interesting from Tim here is saying that Terry Pegula, this is a directive from Terry Pegula. I had not heard that, would not have thought of that. To me, however, it has always been coming from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. The word leadership, the words about Josh and his leadership and his style and changing, even Josh talking about it, guys, this goes back to like draft, OTAs, April, when they come back in. They've talked about this kind of thing a lot. I think the biggest question comes into is Josh comfortable being that guy?
Yeah.
Is he? He's normally a guy that is one of the guys, right? And he's known to be happy-go-lucky. He makes jokes. He's the funniest guy on the team. He's a prankster. That's not normally his personality. But he is a quarterback, and he's been playing the biggest position in the world in sports that you have to be that way anyway to some level. So I wonder how this part of it transforms itself. This is not a surprise to me. It's something that we've all kind of talked about. What to me is the surprise and a good job by Tim to say is this is coming from Terry Pegula. Not that maybe he didn't say Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are even against it necessarily, right?
Yeah, right.
But it seems like this is the highest level of organization kind of directive.
Yeah. And, you know, as we reflect, your point about Diggs and how this may be the departure of Diggs paves the way for Allen to take more ownership here. I also, speculating, and again, without saying right or wrong, it might be part of the fracture between those two because for guys like Diggs who are maybe that aggressive leader to a fault even, you might decide, like, I don't want to deal with this guy anymore. I need you to be harder. I need you to be – and you're not that guy. We can be friends. We can be brothers. We can move on. This is – I don't know if – again, like I said, without trying to make anybody right or wrong about it, you've said relationships end. And the relationship with Diggs and this team ended. We don't have to necessarily take sides or put blame out there, but just – I don't know, Sal, like this story to me, that would line up with a lot of what we've already known about these two and their differences.
And listen, they have been very different personalities, right? And it's worked really well on the field. We heard a lot of things about off the field. When they're together, it's always been that they like each other, respect each other, and I believe that is the case. I believe that's the case. But I do believe styles like that can You know, does Stephon Diggs even believe maybe that Josh Allen needs to be more of a leader?
Mm-hmm.
Does Josh Allen need to think that Stephon Diggs need to be
toned down
a little bit,
right?
I think there's got to be, maybe there's a little separation where they always felt that. Look at the entire roster. I keep thinking that it's not a coincidence when you think of this piece that there's only one wide receiver on this team that caught a pass from Josh Allen in a regular season.
Mm-hmm.
That's Khalil Shakir. Guys, every person brought into this wide receiver room, except if you're on the practice squad and you're trying to make the team, every person brought onto this is coming in here going, I get to play with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I just told you guys the other day how Mac Hollins, he wants to please Josh Allen, right? He was disappointed he didn't get his feet in the other day in a drill, a pass, right? Like, that is, to me, maybe by design where, hey, we're bringing people in here who, Josh, they are already coming in expecting you to be the leader of them because you're Josh Allen. They don't know any different. They haven't been with you at all. This is your opportunity to be that guy. I think it's all part of it.
Yeah. And all their captains other than Josh Allen are gone. Am I missing? Is there one that's returning? Dawkins, maybe?
I think Reed Ferguson was a captain.
Reed Ferguson. Okay. Like Morris is gone and Davis and Diggs and
Vaughn.
Vaughn, right.
Has Vaughn been one?
I think so. I mean, over the years, there's different ones, but... Guys, you're right, though. A lot of captains. This is something when it happened. We talked about, hey, the losing players. But look at all the leadership leaving the room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gabe Davis at his young age was a leader. Had four years in the league. You don't see that very much. So even him. I mean, Gabe Davis.
Yeah,
right? Like he's another guy I think that you throw into this mix.
He's someone, especially like just following them on social media. Like Davis and Allen were together all the time, even off the field. And I read that story and wondered, you know, like maybe this would be, not to say they moved on from those guys because of this, but now that they're here, they had to go through a transition, and you've got all those new receivers, like you said, where Shakir's the only one that he's caught a pass from. If you want Allen to kind of become more of a guy like that, that's demanding, more of an executor, whatever, maybe you might feel this would be the opportunity to do that, because if you're already buddies with half the players that you're throwing the ball to, it might be hard to suddenly turn into somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas new people, you can change.
That's exactly
right. It'd
be
easier to change your mind.
Because they don't know any different.
Right.
But this is, and here's a defense. If anybody thinks this is some sort of criticism of Allen, let me defend in this way. He came here in 2018 with these leaders already here.
Right.
Like, he was the one that fit in and said, oh, all these guys, and how long were they all here?
Yeah.
Right?
And he earned
Micah
their
Hyde,
respect.
Jordan Poyer, yeah. Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins, Matt Milano. These guys were all drafted before him.
Yeah.
Tremaine Edmonds comes in that year. Okay? After that, you get Cole Beasley, John Brown. But Josh walks into a situation where, hey, I just got to go play quarterback. I don't have to be that guy. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's all he knew for 7 years, really. 6 years, 7 years. And I think that can make you, they could probably become the kind of who you fall into. It doesn't mean that he can't be that way. It hasn't, I don't know. Have we gone back? I haven't talked to the Wyoming coach. Was Josh the alpha male leader of Wyoming? Mm-hmm. Maybe he was. But when he got to Buffalo, he didn't have to be that way because of all these other personalities they surrounded themselves with. What, do you remember Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean in 2017 when they took over in 2018? They drafted Josh, but those years, a leader in every room, a veteran in every room. They already had, Josh Allen was very insulated by leaders when he got to Buffalo, and he never, that insulation never went away until this year.
Yeah. There's also, Joe and I had this conversation in the first hour, the romanticization, whatever, I'm going for there, of the Mamba mentality, Michael Jordan, Brady,
Kobe,
that type of leadership. Of course, these are all-time greats, but is it the only way, right? Like, you know, Allen, this sounds like a conversation about him changing, and I feel like Bills fans might be sensitive to the idea of get out of his head, get out of his way, because we just had that fight last year. Like, what are you trying to do to this guy, you know? Let him be himself. Let him run if he wants. Don't tell him not to run. He runs. And the leadership component here, I feel like Bills fans might be nervous. Like, why is the owner getting involved here? Let him do it the way he does it.
I think that's the story, and what people will take it, what I took about it, is that's, like I said, a directive or whatever. But I think that the entire organization, it feels like Josh has been on board. It feels like Josh, going back to April, has been a guy talking like this. And maybe that's something that was said at the end of the year. They talked about it. I think it's interesting. It's fascinating. Let's see. So far, though, I mean, Josh, it seems like he's embracing this role. He's talked about it. They've gone on. He's taken the receivers and tight ends, you know, throwing on retreats and things like that. And they talk about his leadership. It feels like he's taken all of this and kind of run with it here to training camp. Let's see how that manifests itself as the year goes on.
Practice yesterday. Highlights, lowlights, story. What do you got generally about day two from camp?
Highlights, Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel is very good. Mm-hmm. To me, he was involved in the two plays of the day, him and Josh Allen. Allen had a play where he kind of scrambled around, was going to his right. Samuel was cutting across the field, mid-range down the field to his left, and he fired a strike. It's a classic Josh Allen, keep the play alive, right? I mean, just like, this is what Josh does.
No, yes!
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And then later, Matt Bovey and I were standing in the end zone. He threw a ball into a window that you have no business throwing a ball in, about 25 yards downfield, and it was a strike and a thread between two defenders, and the two defenders collided, and Samuel came up with it. I mean, I have no idea how he threw this pass, and I don't know how Curtis Samuel caught it. We saw that. That was very good. He shined yesterday. A bit of a low light. Keon Coleman had a rookie mistake yesterday. Caught a pass, turned upfield, put it on the ground. Bove and I actually were standing there again and debated, and I said, do you think it was a catch? He said, no. I said, well, that's a bad drop. I think it was a catch and a fumble.
Yeah.
Either way,
yeah,
not something you want to see, right? But look, those things are going to happen. You know, you don't want to see them happen. It's a learning opportunity for Keon Coleman. No, whatever. Tuck the ball away, whatever you want to say there. Mike Edwards back with the starters at safety. No more DeMar Hamlin yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was with the second team with Cole Bishop. The guy that was getting run yesterday with the ones that I'm like, okay, Dwayne Smoot at defensive end.
Yeah.
He's like the fourth guy in the ones. Okay, this is a really good point. Somebody on Twitter asked me this question and said, why do you think it's so interesting or such a big deal? They rotate anyway. All these guys are going to get. Let me explain something to fans. Practice rotation is not like game rotation. They have they platoon. There are the ones, they take three or four snaps, they come off the field. A whole group of number twos comes on. They come off the field. A whole group of number threes come on. So if you're with the ones, you're pretty much only with the ones and rotating in a snap or two. And then you have your group of twos. You can move it around, but when we say at practice, at training camp, he was with the ones, you're pretty much exclusively with that group and rotating in a few snaps here or there. If you're with the twos, you're pretty much exclusively with that group. From day to day, they may change you up and down, or if something happens during practice, they would do that. But I thought that was interesting with Dwayne Smoot. Here's a guy that, for four straight years, had at least five sacks not too long ago. And he's, you know, 29, 30 years old now, I think it is. He's been in the league since 2017, 99 games played. I looked it up yesterday. There's a veteran that if you can get five to six sacks from him, that's a really nice baseline for a guy like that.
Yeah.
To help out.
Mike Edwards back at safety?
Yeah. So, DeMar Hamlin, as I said, is now back with the twos, and it feels like that was more of a, hey, DeMar, you did a great job, you know, and a nod to him. Guys, but DeMar Hamlin, like, he's the fourth safety on this team at worst. He's a third right now, I think.
Yeah.
And Cole Bishop, probably the fourth. We'll see if that changes. Cam Lewis, you talked about him. It was just a cramp.
Yeah.
So that was good. Cam is also a safety, but he's a slot corner. He plays everything. He's just kind of Mr. Versatility. So however you want to, you know, count him there. I want to talk about Keon real quick because I have a point for you about Keon. So Matt Bovee and I did Always Game Day in Buffalo yesterday. And so you listen to that. Obviously, you can go watch it on video or you can listen to the audio. Matt made a point that I did not realize. And I'm like, that's really interesting. I didn't notice this. I'm going to start watching this today. Matt said, as opposed to every other receiver, Keon Coleman has only been on the field with Josh Allen. He has not been on the field with any other quarterback. And I think that's super interesting because every other receiver has pretty much had, unless you're really bottom of the depth chart and you're only with Trubisky or whatever. But when it comes to Allen, Keon has only worked, and yet he's playing a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas Shakir is out there with both Allen and Trubisky, and Sir Samuel's out there with both Allen and Trubisky, and even Shane Buechel, let's say, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because to me, going back to day one, when Sean McDermott said, everything we do is intentional to get these guys on the same page, meaning all the receivers with Josh. And everything we're going to do has a purpose to it each period, each rep. It feels like to me, with Matt saying that, and again, I didn't see it myself, but he noticed it, and I appreciate that. It feels to me like this is all you know, kid. All you know is this quarterback. We don't want to screw up anything else until it's time to start doing more. That's all you know is this quarterback.
You also wrote about on our website, and I heard you a little bit yesterday with Chauvin Bulldog on Matt Collins. Is it, even though it's only been a couple of days, does it feel like the momentum towards him being on the field on offense has grown, like, even, again, this week? We've gone from, hey, special teams guy to, I don't know, Sal, like, it feels like the way Allen talks about him, and he's someone that's getting reps with him, too, on the field, that he's going to be playing offense for them.
Let me piggyback on this.
Yeah.
How much of that comes down to run blocking? I don't know how MBS is as a run blocker, but both these guys figure to maybe play the X. And Hollins, there's lots of evidence of him being a dog in that department. That's where Gabe Davis, right? Gabe Davis played so many snaps in part because they felt they could rely on him there. When they signed Trent Sherfield, he was supposed to be a great run blocker. Could that part of his game be what gets him on the field?
I think it certainly helps, Jeremy. There's no doubt, right? If he can't run block, they're not going to have him on the field as much. There's not as much run blocking out here. They are running some plays. You know, you're still going through the motions there. I do think it is a factor. However, I'll say it this way, same way I said it with Chauvin the Bulldog. When Matt Collins was signed, I think me and a lot of people observing said, special teams guy who can play wide receiver. I have now flipped about what they think about him. Wide receiver who can play special teams.
Okay.
This guy's playing. He's going to be on the field. He's going to be on the team. I think that they're going to use him. I think he's going to be a part of the offense. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Josh talks about him a lot. He's really interesting. The thing you said about the X, did you hear Joe Brady talk about this yesterday? The X.
No.
Okay, so Joe Brady he was asked a question of, hey, Keon is your prototypical X, but you like to have guys move around. You see him also in the slot. And Brady, like, very, like, matter-of-factly just looked at the reporter and said, we don't have positions. And he said, we run concepts. If you're on the field with two receivers, you have to know what concept the two-man concept is. If you're on with three, you have to know what the three-man. It doesn't matter where you're lining up. Each one of you has a job. So if you envision it, basically, the way it works is, let's say there's three receivers. The guy on the outside is going to run a route. The guy next to him in the slot. The guy next to him in the, you know, just off the line of scrimmage. They're all going to run something. I could put you guys anywhere. You just know that one, two, and three run these three routes. You're going to run one of those routes.
With Coleman, you know, he was a little bit polarizing as a prospect. Not in that people thought he wouldn't be good, but about where he would succeed. And yesterday, from what I read on many people observing, he got a lot more slot yesterday. And big slot, power slot for Coleman. There's some in the national media, something like Matt Harmon might be on this department as well, about reception perception, that the Bills are flush at the slot. I mean, of course, Shakir, Kincaid, Coleman, like, these guys can play in that position. And the concept idea means if you're seeing Keon Coleman in the slot, that might be what he is actually best suited for. We'll see where it comes out in the wash.
When were the Bills at their best on offense? When they could control the middle of the field with Cole Beasley. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, let's be honest. I think that's what they would love to get back to. We need to control the middle of the field. If that's with a big receiver and tall guy like Coleman, that's where I think Dalton Kincaid. I think that's Dalton Kincaid. Like, when he was drafted, didn't Brandon Bean refer to him as like a Cole Beasley, a different version of Cole Beasley? To me, that's what this is, Jeremy. They're trying to make sure they control the middle of the field.
Milano, does he look good to you?
He looks
fine.
Do you
notice anything?
Just a black sleeve.
There's one high leg going around that looks like a stutter step. Is that just a bad step? Has he commented on
I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a trainer.
And I'm not going to I saw it. And I'm not even going to. Yeah. People can. Any little thing that happens out here, people will reanalyze. So, I just know he's out there every play.
Okay.
and to me, if there's anything wrong with him, that's not happening. Okay. So, yeah, we'll see when the pads come on. They said they're going to manage him a little bit. So what does that look like? I'm not really sure. To me, I'll say it this way. There is nothing he's not doing yet. And that says a lot to me.
Also, one last text. Bob wrote in asking about Joe Andreessen. You know, depth guy.
So at linebacker, it's Milano and Bernard all the time. Then you get Dorian Williams, Baylen Spector. Mm-hmm. And then you get Nicholas Morrow out there. So he's buried on the depth chart right now. But it's a great story for him, local kid. I mean, ultimately, if he can just be on the practice squad, that's a really great, amazing thing for him, right? And that would be great. And, you know, obviously he's going to have to fill in some roles here during training camp, and he's going to work his way. And, you know, you never discount anyone. But that linebacker room, Eddie Ulofosio is there. They just drafted him. Yeah, it's Deion Jones, linebacker. He's more a guy that's going to be in pass situations. So good for Joe Andreessen, but, I mean, it's a really uphill climb to actually make the roster. But, yeah, he's out there and he's working and, you know, he's playing and he's taking his reps.
Deion Jones, I keep forgetting he's on the Bills.
Yeah.
Former Pro Bowl linebacker that they've just got, like, what, way down the depth chart right now?
He's got 13 interceptions in his career, I think.
I don't know if it's any different than past years. Like, are they carrying more linebackers on the roster because of kickoff stuff?
It's a good question. I have to go look at the numbers. Okay. I also feel like they're carrying more, Joe.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just because of kickoffs, but it also could be because of what happened last year. I mean, they were scraping at the end of the year. Let's remember. So people could look at that and say, well, Sal, they can't all make it anyway. It doesn't matter how many you carry. You're still going to wind up with how many. No, here's why you do it, though. The more guys that can learn a little bit about your system, even if they don't win a job, if something happens later, you give them a call. Yeah. Hey, you were with us in camp for 2 weeks. Do you remember how we ran this? Can you come in and help us? That's why you also have a lot of these guys.
Good day for the running backs yesterday?
Yeah, I think so. The burst, man. You see it. James Cook, Ray Davis had a real big burst.
I saw a nice catch from Ray Davis.
Yeah.
All right.
And Ed Oliver was real good yesterday.
Good.
Ed Oliver, you know, he made his presence known a couple times, batted the ball down, got in the backfield.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Sal Capaccio. Thank you, sir.
You got it, guys.
Sal from training camp here. We move things along. Sal Mariano joins us at 8 o'clock. Tyler Dunn, the 8 o'clock hour as well. Sean McDermott, we expect him about 9:15 this morning. So get more of your calls, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we'd be happy to have you here on WGR.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I want to be here, but you know, when you look up, all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is that that's not something to fear. That may be a reality for me one day, may not be my decision. So that's the freedom that I have is be where your feet are, make the most of it, be confident in yourself, make your team better. I love my teammates. I love that locker room. I love everything about being out here in Oxnard and being a Dallas Cowboy. So that's what allows me to be free and focused and understand that in time comes, who knows what comes. As I said, I've been through a lot of adversity personally. That it's about being thankful for where you are, hugging and loving on your loved ones, and taking it one day at a time and handling the rest when it approaches.
Dak Prescott, good for him saying all of that. That message needs to get out there more, and we'll dig into that a little bit. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher. So the Cowboys, they need to sign Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons.
Yep.
And they could have signed all of them already, but they are bad at this whole thing. But Dak saying, at the start of it, he says, I'm going to say it. And then he says, basically, I'm not afraid.
He pauses
for
like 10 seconds. Maybe that's a little much, but he paused for a while and then
I'm going to say it. I'm not afraid to go somewhere else. And it's kind of funny. Like I'm thinking, not to make, this is not a point about Diggs, but I'll make a parallel. People were so mad that he wouldn't just say he wanted to be here all the time. And what did he say? It's not up to me.
Right.
And he might have asked. Oh, sure, he asked that. They say, okay. Brandon Ayuk asked for a trade. It wasn't up to him. Dak Prescott can want to re-sign with the Cowboys. It's not up to him.
Right.
I could want to retire here. That's not up to me. And too often I think these players are asked for loyalty tests from fan bases, and a lot of them know, it's a business. This is not up to me. If you think about the all-time great quarterbacks that did leave their team, or Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks that did leave their team, the list of guys that left is a lot longer than the list of guys that didn't. Tom Brady left. Peyton Manning left.
Who's the best that hasn't left? Recent times.
Roethlisberger didn't leave. They should have kicked him out.
They right.
Roger,
Eli's the same thing. Eli didn't leave because they kept him 5 years longer than they should have.
Rogers left. So many.
Ryan left.
Russell Wilson, not an all-time great, but I was just imagine for a moment. Yeah. Try to envision this in your head and think you can of all the things that seem absolutely impossible. Josh Allen wins a Super Bowl for the Bills and then eventually plays somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because most of them do.
A lot of them, maybe not Wilson. A lot of those guys, though, it's at the end.
Sure.
Right? Like, it's... Sure. You're in your late 30s, and maybe you're even still pretty good, right? Like, all of them were... Peyton Manning was great when he got to Denver, but what was he, like 35, 36? Brady was great still when he got to Tampa. He was in his 40s.
I mean, Manning threw 50 touchdowns in Denver, so...
Yeah.
He still had greatness left. But that was post-injury.
But he was a... How old was he when he went to Denver? Maybe he was
37.
Younger than I thought. That's what I thought, 37. He was 36 was his first year
36.
When he got to Denver.
And threw 50-something touchdowns.
Isn't Dak like 30?
Yeah.
Like, how often do the... And he hasn't won like those players.
No, that's right.
In fact, he hasn't even been to a conference championship, right? But...
But what's the number one thing holding Dak back? Isn't it his coach? Dak.
Yes, he's had some two bad head coaches, in my opinion.
On the Josh Allen overrated conversation, blah, blah, blah. I think Dak Prescott is underrated.
That's probably right.
Not better than Josh, necessarily, but I think he is underrated.
Yeah.
He's one of the best pre-snap quarterbacks in the entire NFL. You get plenty of analysts that will tell you that.
Yeah.
If he were to leave, that's the difference between Dak and Tua. Here's what you have. How many teams would dump their starter for Dak? Is it 10? Is it 15? How many would dump their starter for Tua? Two? Five?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, but it's different. There's a gap.
I'm not someone that tells you Tua is a joke. I have plenty of respect for his game. In fact, the report out of Miami yesterday.
But he might be system dependent.
Sure, he might be system dependent.
Dak feels more like someone I could just plug him into any offense and I'm going to get results.
Some would be better than others for sure.
Yeah.
But with Tua, it's what makes the whole Miami thing so unique. The report yesterday from Miami was Tua didn't play at practice at all.
Didn't participate in anything.
And the offense.
Didn't have his helmet on one time.
And the offense was terrible. It was a mess.
Right.
And the drop off from Tua to the next guy. I mean, this is how the game works, right? He won the passing title. You don't think he's the best quarterback, but that's what he does for them. If you throw in the backup and you get 1,500 yards less, that's a big deal. So it's kind of the perfect fit for him. That doesn't mean he's the best for them in the entire league.
Right.
Just it is a mutually beneficial arrangement they have right now until they find someone better. And that is not a guarantee they'll just find someone better.
Yeah. Well, back to Dak in a second, but on Tua, that's what the Dolphins are trying to figure out right now is...
What else could they do?
He might be worth $55 million to us, but he's not worth $55 million to anybody else.
Right.
So what do you do? Because even Tua has said the market is... Like, the market can dictate these things. But the market for Tua is probably just Miami, right? Yeah. So, like, that would be a weird negotiation. Very weird. Because if I'm Tua, if I'm the Dolphins, I might say to Tua, go ahead. Go look anywhere else and try to find a team to give you that amount of money. And let's see if you can find it. And if I'm Tua, I might say, I might not be worth $55 million to the Raiders, but I am worth $55 million to you.
Yeah.
Look what you looked like when Teddy Bridgewater had to play quarterback a couple years ago. Like, it wasn't very good. They scored, what was that game where they limped into the playoffs? And they beat the Jets, like, 12-10 in the final game of a season to get in. Like, they couldn't do anything without him. So, that's a weird one there. Dak, to me, is different. Dak is, I would agree with that he's underrated, because I would feel like you could put him in any offense and you would at least get pretty good quarterback
play. Well, think about Kirk Cousins for this. Kirk Cousins, off an Achilles injury, got 4 years, $180 million.
Yeah.
He got $50 million to sign.
Yeah.
If Dak became a free agent, what would he get? $270 million?
Like,
he's got such value and is probably underrated there in Dallas.
That is my that's my hot take for next year.
Is Dak to Miami?
Dak to Miami.
Well, you better be afraid. I think you should be afraid of that.
I am very afraid of that. I do not want that to happen.
Maybe not afraid, but that would be...
Dak in Miami might be terrifying if he became available and the Dolphins were to move off Tua in a year. Maybe they fall short of expectations. Dak to Miami or Belichick to Miami?
I don't care about Belichick.
Belichick to Miami.
Give him Belichick. You tell me Mike McDaniel leaves? Okay.
McDaniel gets fired because they've paid Tua, and then they don't make the playoffs.
Great job. Number 60 to 51 in the NFL's top 100 players.
Okay.
It's a lot of Miami players. Raheem Mostert.
What?
Yeah.
How about, really? I mean, I guess he had some big numbers last year.
Christian Wilkins is on the top one. He's now with the Raiders.
Yeah.
But Miami's going to end up having like 8 of the top 100 players. Diggs makes the list at 56.
Mm.
He was 16 okay. last year.
That's a big drop. I mean, he
no,
was.
I'm sorry. He was 40 last year.
Okay. So 16 spot drop. From
maybe
last
not.
Year
no,
to
no,
this
no,
year.
No. I have sorry. I had it right. He was 16.
Okay, so that's a huge drop.
He dropped 40 spots.
Yeah.
Justin Simmons, who is a free agent, is 57.
Okay, yeah.
Brian Burns, Jonathan Allen, Zach Martin, Patrick Surtain, Keenan Allen. Now okay. we're to 51.
Miami, I don't know. They've got how many players on the top 100 list? They're going to have 8?
Waddle, Terron Armstead.
Okay.
Mostert.
Mostert. They're going to
have... They're going to have Tyreek Hill. Bradley Chubb is on the list.
Okay. Is Jalen Phillips going to be on the list or no? Because he's...
Isn't he better than Bradley Chubb?
I think he is better, but he has a torn Achilles.
Okay.
And are they going to dock him for that?
This is a player-led list, so you never know what's going to happen, because Aaron Rodgers missed an entire season and stayed in the top 100.
Right.
And Vaughn missed a season and was just gone.
And he was on
He just disappeared from the list.
And Phillips didn't miss the season, but he's about to miss part of a season.
Yeah.
Probably.
So who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That.
Like, Miami, it's funny because they have so many players. I don't think of them as a loaded roster.
No.
I think of them as having the best receiver duo in football, and that is, to me, their lifeblood, that and their coach. But, right, like, am I the Jets I've kind of treated as having more of a loaded roster than the Dolphins. Is that just defensively that I'm doing that with? Miami, I mean, offensive line-wise, I know they've had their struggles even. And Armstead's funny being on that list because that dude is on the injury report every week. Like, he doesn't practice at all during the season because they're just trying to patch him together with duct tape to get him out there on the field on Sundays.
How many quarterbacks will come in ahead of Allen? 2? Lamar's going to, right? He won the MVP. I just want to prepare
Lamar,
your...
Everybody, Mahomes is going above him.
Everybody prepare yourself for Lamar to come in ahead of him. Do you remember who came in ahead of him last year? At quarterback.
Mahomes.
Was
Rodgers above him last year?
Jalen Hurts was 3 last year.
Wow.
That's not happening again.
That's going to drop.
Burrow was 6. Allen was 8.
What about Brock Purdy?
Purdy.
That'll get the interwebs going.
Oh, they can't. Yeah,
if Brock
right.
Purdy ends up
He won't
above
get
him.
That. He won't get that.
No?
No.
He'll be on the list, though.
Yeah, that's probably right.
He'll be somewhere high on the list. I was getting into it with some Ravens people on Twitter yesterday about Lamar Jackson. He is I bet he's going to be above Allen in this list, and I think he's amazing. But yesterday was Baltimore's day that we had this last week. Once ESPN and all the other networks took hold of the Allen is overrated quote from that one executive, which by the way, Brandon Bean kind of threw back into the cycle yesterday with the comment he made.
Yep.
About there's a lot of idiots out there. Yesterday was Baltimore's day, though, because somebody somewhere on ESPN was taking down Lamar Jackson and comparing him to, like, the Sixers or something. I know what it was. It was First Take. It wasn't Stephen A., though, whoever it was. That there's no pressure on Lamar Jackson this year because everybody knows what they are. They're a team that'll make it to the playoffs, and then they'll fall, like, in the middle of it.
All right. No pressure?
No pressure on Lamar Jackson because we all know what he is. We all know what they are at this point. And then I got into it with Ravens people because it was, hey, how come Allen doesn't get any of this? I'm like, did you just see what happened last week when all of like the NFL media like melted arguing about Josh Allen the week before training camps got rolling? And the other point that I was making a lot was Jackson, the one criticism I don't ever want to listen to with Allen is about the postseason because his numbers go up in every department when you get to the playoffs. And I'll defend Lamar Jackson, but I won't go that far defending him once you get to the playoffs because
not a lot of playoff
his
success.
Numbers go down a lot in the playoffs. 6 games, he has 9 touchdowns and 6 picks. And Allen's got 29 touchdowns and 4 picks. Like the difference once you get to the postseason between the two is massive, despite the fact regular season Lamar's got 2 MVPs.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. The Third day of training camp here from St. John Fisher. Sun is out, cloudless sky. I don't know if we've seen a cloud the whole time we've been here in 3 days.
No, I know. You had those little skinny, wispy ones, like up in the, like way up in the sky.
Yeah.
But that's been pretty much it. And it felt more like an elite fall morning, I would say, this morning than it did in other days. It was crisp.
I'm glad you said it. That allows me to say it. I thought, like, last night.
Yeah.
Maybe it's football also that makes me feel that way, and it's July 26th.
We're staring at a football field.
So technically, summer started a month and 5 days ago, according to the, solstice calendar stuff. But, yeah, the chill of football.
Yes.
It's a welcome chill.
I feel like I could taste the apple cider right now.
Nice. All right, Sal Mariano joins us at the top of the hour. Tyler Dunn in the 8 o'clock hour. Sean McDermott, 9:15. Chatting with you on the Bills, the NFL, all of it here from Buffalo Bills camp at St. John Fisher University on WGR. Good morning from St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe. Joe, the fam's coming up today.
Let's go.
Fam's coming up.
Get some bomb pops.
Oh, there's going to be popsicles in their future. They see popsicles. That's a lot. Lock it in.
Nice. Nice.
That my kids hit a popsicle like Josh Allen jumps over a linebacker. He see or you know, a defensive back. See it. See target. Acquire
yeah.
target.
Lack of Tage Thompson highlights last year. Shouldn't they be all in on Josh Allen highlights recently?
Well, my son, Knox, he slept in his Dawson Knox jersey last night.
Nice.
So he'll
nice.
Be here. Dawson Knox. Someone earlier today, when you were talking about Kincaid and being the best tight end in franchise history,
yeah,
like the Bills have never had a good tight end, pointed out, like, Pete Metzelaars would like a word with you. And I looked up Pete Metzelaars' stats. Again, not saying he's anything bad or good, just, you know.
Wasn't he just a guy?
Kincaid's rookie season outdid Metzelaars' best season.
Yeah.
From a
right.
yard standpoint.
Right.
The game has changed. But then I started, you know, my brain starts spinning, and I thought.
Yeah.
What position in Bills franchise history have they had the best players at? Every franchise would have
okay.
a, our best group ever is blank.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, like quarterback, it's one guy for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like if Kelly and Allen. Okay, that's pretty good. And Jack
it's only
Kemp.
Two
like,
guys, though.
Jack Kemp. Like, sure. Joe Ferguson, Jack. Like you listen to all the quarterbacks.
Like the Packers,
listen to all the receivers.
I feel like the Packers could get away with saying quarterback because they've just gone from Hall of Famer to Hall of
yes.
Famer to Hall of Famer, and now Jordan Love's great too.
Yeah, probably great for eight games so far.
Yeah, yeah.
What single position are the Bills the best at in their franchise history?
I have maybe a lame answer, but it.
If you say punter, I'm
not saying punter.
I'm leaving right now. If you say punter,
my man Brian Mormon would like a word.
I'm leaving.
Any of you, I did a couple years ago, like a Bills all-time offense draft. Maybe this was during COVID with Schoep, Bulldog, and Sal. And I feel like I remember in that conversation we all discovered how amazing the Bills' history at guard is.
I'm leaving
again. It's late.
I'm leaving.
But, like, you've got
Reuben Brown.
Joe DeLaMalier, Reuben Brown, Jim Richard.
Osiris Torrance.
Reggie McKenzie.
Get
Osiris
out of
Torrance.
Here. Get out of here. I can't believe you said guard.
I'm just saying. I know
Fold
it's not
the
sexy.
Franchise.
It's not sexy. I mean, wouldn't that be the epitome of a team that's never won the Super Bowl, though, that guard is your
no,
best position ever?
No. No one thinks guard is the answer.
What's the answer, then? Is it running back?
That's the number one answer coming in right away is running back. However, I'd like to point out Wayne. If you grab the players at their peak,
yeah,
defensive end has a case. Bruce, Mario, Vaughn,
yeah,
Hughes, Hanson, Schoble.
Yeah.
Schoble's my sixth. It's probably Leonard Floyd.
What do you got, though? You
give
got
me
one,
Leonard Floyd
you
out there.
You got one Hall of Famer. Should we do it by Hall of Famers? Running back might have the most Hall of Famers. Well, it's only two, though, yeah, actually, isn't it?
Running back's whatever. Running back's good.
Yeah, running back is, I mean, running back has got some all-time greats, of course. Even McCoy was great, right?
Yeah, yeah. Border, I mean, he's
But see, like, running back, I'm almost annoyed to put it up there because they were only good at it for, like, during the drought years, especially because they kept drafting it in the first freaking round. Like, I don't want them to be, that to be their all-time. But, you yeah, know, if you go way back when, Thurman, OJ, like, okay.
Yeah.
What else could it be? It might end up. It's not receiver, right?
No, I don't think it's receiver.
All right.
I did
One
see
day, hopefully.
A similar like offshoot of this conversation, which was ranking teams' best all time at position XYZ.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, coming up on the other side, Sal Mariana.
I don't want to ask him this question.
Yeah, it'd be a good one.
I have his book on, like, the 35th anniversary of the Bills. It's got, like, the game book of every game they've ever played. So I feel like this is the man to know the answer.
All right. Sal Mariana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle on the other side. Tyler Dunn popping in next hour. Sean McDermott, 9:15. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher University at day three of Bills Camp on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.